Hello, everyone, and welcome to an all-new edition of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. My name is Dan Mott, and we thank you for listening to us this week. We took a week off, and guys, we're glad to be back. Joining me this week, as always, we have Pro Football Weekly Bears beat writer Bob Laguerre and Pro Football Weekly executive editor Hub Arkish. Guys, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Going good, Dan. Supposed to have some downtime now, and doesn't look like there's going to be anything going on. Noteworthy with the Bears, which is good this time of year. You don't want to have any news, because normally, when you have news this time of year, it's bad news.
That's right. That's always the biggest challenge as the off season kind of goes dark and these teams break and these guys go on a little bit of a mini vacation. You always hope that there's no other news coming out of these teams, and I think that's the biggest concern amongst the GMs and the coaches, that guys just go out there, try to have fun, but please do not get yourselves into trouble.
Stay out of trouble and keep working out. That was one of the messages we heard from Matt Nagy when we talked to him on the last day of the veteran mini camp. Is what is your message to these guys as you send them home? And he said, you know, you spent the last couple months in the off-season program getting ready, so enjoy your time, but make sure you don't lose the edge that you've been building over the last couple months.
Well, guys, on today's show, we're going to discuss some more takeaways from the Bears veteran minicamp, which occurred last week. We'll chat some injury updates, including Robinson and Long's rehab. Plus, we'll talk about Trubisky's new weapons on offense and the expanded role of Tariq Cohen. Plus, we have some discussion on Roquan Smith. So, guys, let's just jump right in. I know that with veteran minicamp last week, there was a lot to see coming out of there. Bob, I'll start with you. What were some of your takeaways from that camp last week?
Well, you mentioned Roquan Smith, and I think the results so far have been good. You know, everybody speaks highly of him, says he's a quick learner. They're impressed by his speed and his instinctiveness. And kind of, you know, that's one thing we're going to be looking for when training camp starts is how long it takes for him to become the starter. Everybody assumes if you draft a guy that highly, he's going to be a day one starter, especially on a team that is looking for playmakers. That really the biggest drawback to this defense and this team is that they lack playmakers, guys who are instant impact guys that the opponent has to scheme for and has to worry about in every single play. Roquan Smith, I believe, is that type of guy. Nothing against Nick Kwiatkowski, who started a lot of games in the last couple of years, even though he's allegedly not a starter. Nothing against him, but Roquan Smith is a guy that they want to earn that starting job sooner than later, because the quicker he's in there playing with Danny Trevathan and the other starters, the better he can assimilate and find his role in this defense. And, you know, the way it looks now is his role is to be one of the leading tacklers, just like Danny Trevathan. Problem with Trevathan is, you know, he hasn't always been healthy. And on the field, he's a guy you notice. He's a difference maker, but he's been gone a lot the last couple of years because of injuries.
How about you, Hub?
Yeah, you know, I think they feel pretty good about the defense. They hope that Trevathan and Leonard Floyd can be healthy. Hopefully, Kyle Fuller is not a product of a contract year and can take another step forward this year. Prince Amukamara, a veteran, a little more comfortable in giving him that deal. Most of the buzz I noticed in minicamp is really around the offense. I think there's a quiet confidence in Vic Fangio. There's a sense of excitement, but a bit of the unknown when you look at the offense and Matt Nagy and Mark Hilfrich and Brad Childress and on and on and on. And I know that they're excited about where Mr. Trubisky is at. They certainly feel like they did a great job getting him weapons in terms of all the new receivers with Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and Trey Burton. Tariq Cohen ready to take another step. They've got a Pro Bowl running back in Jordan Howard. The thing that I was kind of focused on the most this offseason so far, and that we really don't know much more about now than we did at the end of last season, is where this offensive line is going to be at. We've heard promising reports. If he is healthy, we know he's one of the best guards in football, but even with that, they are still a bit unsettled at the center and guard position. For now, they'll leave Cody Whitehair at center. They'll have Eric Kush and James Daniels, the 39th pick in the draft, competing at guard. And then your tackles, you know, Bobby Massey's probably been better than advertised. Charles Leno probably not quite as good as advertised. So really, I think a lot of the focus early in Bourbonnais is going to be on that offensive line and how quickly they get that come together, because a lot of the success of the offense is going to depend on whether they've got the right pieces blocking for them.
aggressive. And not to keep beating a dead horse, but you go back to not re-signing Josh Sitton, and I realize the contract was a bit untenable. But he's a former Pro Bowl player who is not playing at a Pro Bowl level anymore. But isn't that far away from that level? And with, you know, with the questions about Kyle Long and whether Eric Kush is going to be able to start 16 games and not be a weak link on that defense, it just seems like Josh Sitton would have been a great guy to keep around as insurance. That kind of guarantees that you don't have to force James Daniels into the starting lineup ahead of schedule. I know they liked him a lot enough to draft him 39th. But whether he's ready to be a starter on day one remains to be seen. Eric Kush, a guy that Matt Nagy is fairly familiar with because he was in Kansas City for a little bit, has always been a highly regarded backup. And I think they felt great with him as a swing guard. I don't know if they feel as good as they do with Eric Kush being a starter and an every game player. That remains to be seen. You know, there is some competition there between two pretty good players. If it's me, I would like to have Josh just as a safety valve, and just, you know, you can bring James Daniels along more slowly, and you can keep Eric Kush as a swing guard. You know, but that's distant ancient history at this point, so they're going to go with what they have. And like you said, Hub, the key is Kyle Long. If he's healthy, he's one of the top guards in the league. You know, hasn't been healthy for a long time, though. It's a major question mark.
Well, guys, I'm glad that we're on the subject of Kyle Long, because I'm curious to know, Hub, how is he looking in some of his rehab? As we keep seeing him at these off-season workouts, I mean, is he looking like he's getting better, and will he be ready to get out on the field as the season starts?
You know, Dan, I wish it was a question I could answer for our listeners. The reality is that Kyle he looks fine when you stand next to him and when you talk to him, but he is not being allowed to participate in any of the team drills. We will see him out on the field in shorts and a T-shirt, often with a ball cap on, walking around, giving advice. Occasionally early in the stretch and some of the timing stuff, he'll jump in, but he is not yet being allowed to participate in any drills, so we can't really say where he's at. Also, one of the things that the Bears do, and many NFL teams do this, I'm not criticizing the Bears, when players are injured and not working out, they're not letting them talk to the media either. So other than passing in the hall and exchanging a few pleasantries with Kyle, I can tell you that he is expressing a positive attitude about where he's at. Matt Nagy did say that they hope to have him in team drills, if not at the very beginning of training camp, very early in training camp. So, you know, we're getting some positive reports on him, but we just haven't been able to see anything yet to know where he is. And you know, Bob, part of the trick here, this guy's rehabbing three different surgeries during the offseason. He had the work done on his neck late last season. He then had the shoulder fixed. He then had a hand work done. Each has to be rehabbed differently. You can't necessarily work on all three at the same time. So this is one where, you know, I think the Bears and Bears fans have to just be patient. The reports are good on Kyle, but it's going to be a while before we can get eyes on him and really know how close he is.
Yeah, that's a good point. As far as evaluating where he's at, we have no idea because he hasn't done anything. I saw him put a helmet on at one of the last minicamp practices, but that's the closest he's gotten to playing football at this point. And the Bears talk like they have no concerns, which, of course, that's what they're going to say. I'm not so sure. Like you said, he's rehabbing three different injuries. He's been gone a lot lately. He hasn't played a lot of football. You know, if he's 100% for day one of training camp, I'll be shocked. I don't think there's any way that's going to happen. I think he's going to be a guy who maybe practices for a day and doesn't even do anything or doesn't do everything, and then maybe has a veteran's day off and is brought along slowly. And hopefully, best case scenario, he might be ready for the season opener, but I don't think there's any guarantees on that.
Hub, tell us a little bit about how you feel Allen Robinson is progressing with his rehab.
Well, he actually did step into some team drills towards the end of minicamp. Again, it was in the early part of camp. He didn't go full speed with the offense as they were installing the new system, but he did do some passing drills. It was the first chance that Mr. Trubisky had to throw the ball to Allen Robinson. He looks like the thoroughbred running around out of the pasture, anxious to get back on the track. We're hearing positive things, but again, until he gets into full-scale drills and we see him running against coverage, it's hard to know what you got. I think the prognosis on Robinson is probably easier to be a little more positive than it was Kyle, because A, just one injury, not three, and B, the ACL was torn literally on the third play of the season, the first Sunday in September last year. The surgery was done shortly thereafter, so he's had a full 11 months or so. It'll be 12 months when the season starts to get ready. ACLs are traditionally about a 10 to 18 month injury. So if he's on the front side of it, then he could be close to 100% for opening day. What people need to be constantly reminded, Bob, about Allen Robinson is that even though he's a 5-year veteran, he still isn't 25 yet. He's going to turn 25 in training camp. So young, strong. I think there's a good chance that Robinson will be close to full speed by the time the regular season comes along.
Yeah, Hub, I think that's the number one criteria there, is the fact that he's 25 years old and his recuperative powers are a lot better than most guys. You and I certainly know a lot about that. Even Kyle Long is going to be 30 years old, so he's not coming back as quickly as he would at 25. And Allen Robinson, you're right, looks like he's champing at the bit, ready to go. The fact that he was running, not full speed, but running, actually running, not jogging, is a good sign. And I think he's another guy who maybe not 100% for the start of training camp. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he is 100% in week one.
Just a few more minutes here with Hub Arkish. I know, Hub, you have to take off here in a moment, but any other takeaways from you and what you've seen this past week at the veteran minicamp?
Well, you've got an interesting dynamic with the Bears in the secondary. I'll swing back to the defense, which Bob talked a little bit about. For as long as I can remember, since the end of the Lovie Smith regime, really through Phil Emery and Mark Trestman and John Fox in the early years of Ryan Pace, the safety position has been a disaster and the cornerback position hasn't been good enough. You've got two starting corners coming back this year, both with new contracts, who could be one of the better pairs of corners in the NFC, and Eddie Jackson coming off of a really strong rookie year. A lot of people are kind of settled on Adrian Amos, who did play his best football the last 5-6 weeks of the 2017 season. I'm still not so sure it was great football. I'm still not so sure they don't need another upgrade at one of the safety positions. But even beyond that, on the depth side, you've got both Bryce Callahan and Craven LeBlanc have been starters in the slot. You've got the three kids from Ryan Pace's second draft, and DeAndre Hall and Deion Bush and DeAndre Houston Carson are all still around that give you some depth. So arguably the secondary is the most settled unit on the team, and that's not something that we've seen from the Bears in a long time. Now, it's interesting because it could be a boom or bust type thing. They could be really good this year. It's possible that one or two or three of these guys could backslide. But, you know, Bob, from what I've seen so far, I think it's more likely they're going to be pretty good. I think Ed Donatell is one of the better secondary coaches in the league. We know Vic Fangio is one of the best coordinators. And I think it's going to be the first time in a long time we can say the secondary is a strength of the Bears football team.
Yeah, I think at cornerback, especially, you mentioned the depth. Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara are way above average starters. Kyle Fuller played the best football of his career last year. If he continues to do so, that won't be as bad of a contract as it looks at face value for $56 million. But the important thing, as you mentioned, is the depth at cornerback with Bryce Callahan and Craven LeBlanc, both guys who have started games on the outside for the Bears in the past. And ideally, that's not where you want them starting, but the fact that they have done that, I think, makes them more valuable as slot guys. And it allows you to have some depth if anything happens to the starters. Those guys have played on the outside. They don't have ideal size for that, but they've done it, and they can fill in an emergency. So I think they're in pretty good shape there. And of those three guys you mentioned from Ryan Pace's second draft, Vic Fangio during the minicamp one of the OTAs unsolicited mentioned Deion Bush, who played really well toward the end of his rookie year and then kind of faded into the background and hasn't done much since. But he's a guy I think who's got a lot of promise, came in with a reputation as a big hitter, certainly something they could use in the secondary.
All right, guys, we're going to continue our offense discussion with Bob Laguerre. But first, we're going to say goodbye to Hub Arkish as he's got a run. Hub, thank you so much for joining us this week on the podcast. And we thank you so much for the input regarding the veteran minicamp.
I apologize, guys. I've got a meeting I got to run to, but I'll look forward to getting back with you next week.
Sounds good, Hub. We'll talk to you next week. So, Bob, as we continue our chat on the offensive side of the ball for the Bears, we've mentioned on previous podcasts about Mitch Trubisky's new offensive weapons. You have Taylor Gabriel and Trey Burton out there. How good are these guys going? How are these guys going to impact the team this season?
Well, I think Trey Burton's going to be in it. Immediate impact guy. I think he's got a guy who's been under the radar because he played behind a couple of veterans in Philadelphia and didn't get the snaps or the targets that normally he would want to have that would showcase his skills. And he's not a guy who's going to be a powerful inline blocker and knock anybody off the ball, but he is a guy who can stretch the field, get deep over the middle, and can do a lot of things. The guy's a tremendous athlete. Was a quarterback in college. We saw him run the Philly special in the Super Bowl. He can do a lot of things in this offense. I think you're going to notice him from day one. I think there's no doubt about that. Taylor Gabriel is a guy who can absolutely fly. The guy's nickname is Turbo, so that, you know, you kind of get that right off the bat. But even Tariq Cohen, who's super fast and super quick, mentioned that. Somebody asked him, who's faster? And he said, well, you know, I'm still faster. But Taylor Gabriel, if you see him on the field, just absolutely has a big play dimension. And if you put him and Cohen on the field at the same time with Trey Burton, those are three athletes that teams are going to have a difficult time matching up with. He's the pass-catching dimension in this tight end room. I don't think either of the other two guys, Deion Sims or Shaheen at second round draft pick, who really, you know, flashed a little bit last year as a rookie, but did not impress on a down-in, down-out basis. He's a guy who I think probably is going to require a little bit more seasoning. He's a big guy. He moves pretty well for a guy who's about 270 pounds, 265. He can be that all-around tight end who can be an effective inline block for helping in the run game. And also has shown good hands. He doesn't have great speed. You know, people, I think, sometimes overestimate his athleticism. He is athletic for a big man, but he's not the kind of guy that Trey Burton or Zach Miller is. Those guys are field-stretching guys who are almost mid-wide receivers. I think in Shaheen, you've got a guy who can do a little bit of what Martellus Bennett did. He can be an effective receiver, and he can be a good blocker. Shaheen has really good hands, but he didn't get a lot of opportunities to demonstrate that last year. And it's still a pretty crowded house at tight end with Sim, Shaheen, and with Trey Burton. And make no mistake about it, Trey Burton is going to get most of the targets among the tight ends this year. The other two guys, you know, maybe role players, maybe guys who factor into the red zone offense. But Trey Burton is a guy I think Bear fans are going to notice from day one.
Bob, you had mentioned Tariq Cohen, and there's this expanded role that's anticipated for this running back. And Matt Nagy is planning on, as he quoted, having some fun with him. I would imagine this guy is going to be all over the field. I think his talent, his speed, his playmaking ability and versatility will, in fact, make him a fun weapon on this offense. But what are you seeing that you think Matt Nagy can do with Cohen?
Yeah, I think Nagy loves the fact that he's got this toy to play with, and you're going to see him all over the field, and he's going to be a guy that defenses have to account for. Yeah, he's a running back, but you know, a lot of running backs you can cover with a linebacker. There's not many linebackers, if any linebackers in the NFL, who can cover Tariq Cohen one-on-one. So he stresses the defense, and you can move him around. He runs routes, and Nagy mentioned this during minicamp, he runs routes like a wide receiver. And for a guy who came out of a small college and was primarily a running back, that's pretty impressive. And he did that as a rookie. He's only going to get better in this offense.
I know that there's some opportunities to use him as a decoy. Do you think that Nagy will do that often?
Sure. If you like I said, if you split him outside, you're not going to cover him with a linebacker. You're going to have to put a cornerback on him. That opens something up for somebody else, whether it's the wide receivers, Allen Robinson, Kevin White, one of those guys. Maybe it's Trey Burton deep down the middle, but he is a guy who, if you're going to try to cover him with linebackers, you're going to have to have safety help over the top with Tariq Cohen, and that has to open something up somewhere else on the field.
It's going to be very interesting to see how defenses work to cover some of these guys as the season starts. Bob, just a few more minutes here on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Are there any other takeaways from last week's veteran minicamp? I know I asked Hub that. Is there anything else that you saw that the listeners should know about?
Well, Kevin White looks phenomenal, and I know we've said that before. The difference is this year he's coming off a shoulder injury. He's not coming off a leg injury, which has prevented him from running at full speed. The guy's in tremendous shape. He can get deep against anybody. He ran, if you remember, a 4.35 at the combine. So this guy has field stretching capabilities. I know people have questioned his hands in the past, and he will have the occasional drop, but this is a big physical guy who can win jump balls and can outrun people. They would love to see him stay healthy through training camp and through the preseason, especially because of the fact that Allen Robinson may or may not be 100% for week one. So Kevin White is going to get some opportunities this year if he can stay healthy.
That will do it for this week's episode of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. We're about 4 weeks away from the start of Bears training camp, so we'll continue to bring podcasts and discuss some previews to camp over the next few weeks. Be sure to be checking out the latest news on the Bears as it breaks 24/7 at ProFootballWeekly.com. We want to thank all of you for listening this week, and we hope that you head on over to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast if you've not already done so. A big thanks to Umphreys McGee for the use of our theme song, Glory, which can be found on the album UM Live, so go and download that on iTunes if you enjoy listening to that track each week. We want to thank you, the listeners, as always, for checking us out this week, and to Hub Arkish and Bob Laguerre for joining us to discuss the Bears. Once again, I'm Dan Mott. For Hub and Bob, we thank you, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care, everyone.